Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, it's Patriots Monday. We are live down here at Gillette Stadium, and you know what that means. Bill Belichick joins us every Monday. The coach is being brought to you by Mass General Hospital Cancer Center. Every day amazing by the Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing exclusively in men's sexual health, McFarland Energy, and by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealer. Bill Belichick, good to see you again. How you doing?
Good, Glenn. Kristen,
Lou, coach, how's it going? Ready good. For another round?
So how many years is this for you now? Doing like 43 or 44 years since you started with Detroit? Is that right? 44?
Yeah, I started in Baltimore. It's been a lot, yeah.
Baltimore, excuse me. That is unbelievable. How much of this has changed for you? And obviously you still love it or you wouldn't be doing it, so you're still around. How much of it is different than when you first started doing it?
Oh, it's a lot different. Yeah, it's a lot different, but it's still fun. I enjoy coaching. I enjoy our team. So, I'm still here.
I think every guy over 40 probably wishes that the rules and regulations would be different, and we all feel like we could have gotten maybe three or four more years squeezed in just based on practice squad. There was this article about the Jacksonville Jaguars and their first inaugural season, how they went up to Wisconsin. Practice up there with Tom Coughlin. What do they call it? Like the Cheese League or something like that, because all the teams that were up there. It just talked about how difficult it was and how long the practices were. And if you tried to throw that out there to the players today, I think they would just revolt. I think those guys tried to revolt, but to no avail.
There are a lot of things different in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. So, but we're... we're grinding our way through camp this year, and so
can you still call it a grind?
with that
mental knowing grind. What they used to do.
Yeah, well, it's not what it used to be, but it's still it's a lot of competition, a lot of work. Guys are competing hard out there, so not everybody's going to make it. So I think that the mental part of it's still grinding. You don't know if you're going to make the team, or 37 guys. We're going to have to release 37 guys like every other team. So that's a lot of mental stress.
Coach, you've had so much success, right? You've had seasons like this. We come in following a Super Bowl win, and the famously just turn the page, this team hasn't accomplished much. And I'm just curious, it's all based on life experience. Was there a moment that kind of thought process crossed your mind? I was looking like 86 Giants. You guys won the Super Bowl. The next year you started off 0-5. I know Sims got hurt that year, but was that sort of, did you feel like a team lost focus? Was there a team in the past, maybe 0-2 with Christian, that
easy
you started feeling like, okay, this isn't going to happen again. I need to send this message to this team. They haven't accomplished anything.
Yeah, I think every year is a new year. So,
but there wasn't a team or a lesson learned in the past.
I think you learn lessons every year.
Did anyone ever give you advice, like a young, maybe say an older coach, who had been in a similar situation? Hey, listen, I made this mistake. Make sure you send this message to your team. Don't take the bait on this personality or this philosophy.
Yeah, I think ever since I can remember, that's what it's always been. It's a new year, a new opportunity, and make the most of this year.
So when you say every year is a new year, and it's obviously worked for you, and you get subtractions from your team like Gronk, and you get additions where you're adding a couple of linebackers, when you look at it and you formulate what you want to do both offensively and defensively, what is that like? Do you look at different guys' skill set? This guy can do that. That guy can do that. How much changes from year to year based on that?
Some. I'm not sure. Some of it's what you're going to be facing, what you have to do against your opponents, or certain things that you're going to need over the course of the year. And you look at your team and see where you feel like the strengths and weaknesses of your team are. But we don't really know those for a while, so it'll still be a couple months before we can really know that for sure. So it's a little bit of a work in progress. But you got to start somewhere. You start with your basics, your fundamentals, and you hope that wherever you need to go to that you can fall back on those fundamental principles.
You know, Glenn mentioned, you know, addition, subtraction, guys coming, guys going. Gronk obviously being one of them. Were you surprised at all that he retired? Was that something that you knew was going to happen, or was it? Did he just call you up one day and say, I think I'm done?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to Rob, you know, a number of times over the past few years. So, but look, you know, every player has to make that decision. You know better than anybody, so you had to do it.
I was forced to do it.
The league retired him.
Well, I was curious because the other thing is that, you know, with Gronk, with a lot of guys like, you know, the Nikoviches of the world, Troy Browns, Teddy, you know, they had like a, you know, some sort of a press conference associated with the team where they came up and they thanked everybody. Not so much a guy like Willie who went and played for another team. Are we going to see that with Gronk at all? I feel like that's something that hasn't happened with him. I think I was curious to know, do you guys plan on doing that? Is it going to be a red jacket ceremony maybe at halftime to honor him, or are you just going to let it play out?
Yeah, I'm not really sure, Christian. I'm not really. I'm just trying to focus on getting our team ready to go this year. I'm not really into the, you know, all the planning of events and all that. You know, Teddy retired during the season, so did Rob, after his training camp started. So I would say those situations were a little bit different.
Yo, Coach, one thing I was watching that game on Thursday night. I know the new rule, the pass interference, and you could challenge him. You've talked about it before, being able to. Is that something that you are trying to get accustomed to? Because I think there was a play, Jacoby Myers, looked like the guy grabbed his arm. There was no challenge. I'm just wondering, is that something that you guys are working your way through too, and challenging these types of pass interference calls?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things we're working our way through as a staff and individual players. Again, it's just getting back into the flow of the game, decision-making. That's part of what the four preseason games are for, is to smooth things out on our end on a game day operation and to try to play as competitively as we can. For the coaching staff, that includes making good decisions and adjustments and all those things that go with it.
So I'm guessing that you're glad you have the opportunity to at least challenge a play like that that could impact the game?
Whatever the rules are there.
Well, you've never been shy about bringing people back. Patrick Chung came back here, and he was better second time around than he was the first time. Jamie Collins, Brandon Bolden coming back right now. What do you look at with players like that in bringing them back? Obviously, you know their ability. But why do you think sometimes, in the case of Chung, that the player is that much better just because he's older, more mature, understands more of what you want him to do?
Every situation's different. I'd say in Patrick's case, I don't feel like I did a great job with him the first time he was here. I think the second time, the coaching was better. So, playing was probably better too, but I think the coaching was better. So, but each case is a little bit different. So, we'll see how it goes.
Is Jamie different this time around?
Jamie's been great. Yeah, he's been great. So, glad we have him. Think he'll help us. I feel like he's a good addition to our team.
Well, sometimes a player leaves, and obviously he got paid. He got paid well. You dealt him, he got paid, and he got a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get their money, do you think sometimes when a player comes back that they are a little bit different? Maybe it works out better. They want to win again.
Yeah, you'd have to ask him that. I'm not, or, you know, Brandon or Pat, you'd have to ask them that. I'm not really sure what their thought process is on that.
So I'm not sure if you ever talked about this, but Jerod Mayo coming back, it's obviously been a big topic. Did he approach you to, listen, I'm interested in coaching, or was this something where you would see him and knowing, you know, what a great impact he had on other players and how well he was running that defense, that you would say that, did you ever recruit him at all? Or was it, you know, mutual, you know, you guys bumped into each other one day and said, hey, coaching would be fun. Hey, I have a spot opening.
All right. Well, I've kept in contact with Jerod and a lot of other players that have been here since they have stopped playing. So, it just worked out. And so let's leave it at that.
So if an ex-player that played with you for a short period of time would want to coach, what would he have to do?
Have to get out of the media.
Have to get out of the media? Oh, so first I have to quit. Okay.
That's what Mayo did.
Yeah,
get out
that's
of the media.
True. Well, when you think about, you know, players that are good defensive coordinators or head coaches, is it fair to say that guys like a Vrabel playing that. Well, Vrabel wasn't a mic, but Jerod Mayo, you know, maybe a strong safety who's in charge of the secondary, because Mayo would, if when he was playing, he wasn't monitoring what the secondary was doing. Right, it was mostly just the linebackers in the front.
I think Jerod pretty much knew what every player on the field was doing.
Was he that type of guy, like just knew?
Yeah, Jerod's a very smart football player. Had a lot of command on the field.
Are you surprised by the transition, how quickly it is? Because I think, I mean, even Charlie Weiss was on Sirius Satellite Radio, was talking about there's no way, and I'm paraphrasing here, that a guy coming out for the first year of coaching could ever be a defensive coordinator.
Yeah, well, that's not his title.
Sorry. But a guy coming off the street could ever become a defense or call plays for a defense. And I know maybe he's doing it. And I'm not sure how the process works. I know it's not his title. But I think that everyone thinks that he will be the defensive coordinator, or just how hard it is for a guy off the street to come and call plays, even if he doesn't have the title.
Yeah, we have a lot of good coaches on our staff, a lot of good defensive coaches. You know, Mike and Steve in secondary, and DeMarcus and Gerard are the inside and outside linebackers, Brett with the defensive line, you know, Brian the quality control. So we have a good staff, and we'll see how it goes.
Do you need one guy to call those plays, or is that, can that be in-game? I know you said you have some involvement
earlier
in the year.
Yeah, we'll do what's best for the football team. So,
now, you've had some pretty good defenses here. Obviously, you've coached them in the past, and I think everyone's looking at this defense wondering if it could be that special group again. Do you look at this with some of the experience and the guys coming back, linebacking core, D-line, secondary, that this team has the ability to have one of those special defenses as well?
Yeah, I think right now we're just thinking about, you know, having a good day today, having a good day, having a good week in Tennessee, and just taking it one step at a time. There's a lot of things we got to work on. So we'll see how it all comes together. I don't know.
You've had a good track record of grabbing undrafted free agents and those guys being very, very productive. Football's also a business. We were talking earlier about how everything is shorter now. You don't have the same type of double, the two-a-days and everything else, a sampling to see all these players. Is it more difficult to be able to analyze that undrafted free agent in that it's a business, and that if it's a first round, second round, third round, even a fourth round draft pick, those guys, you pretty much have got to find a way of making that roster, and yet you've had great success with these guys. A lot of them make the team.
Yeah, and you know, we've had good teams, and those teams aren't easy to make. But, you know, look, it's a competitive situation. Yeah, if there's fewer practices and fewer games, you have fewer looks at them, and so you have a little less information to make a decision on, but it's the same for all 32 teams, so you know, we're all looking at the same number of practices, same number of preseason games, same opportunities. So just have to try to make a good decision in the framework that we have to work in.
But I know you're trying to get the best player, and yet the undrafted free agent, if you get a short period of time to evaluate him, that second round draft pick, because it's a business decision, has pretty much got to make the team. And with a shorter schedule now, I'm wondering, do you have to make I wouldn't say impulsive decision, but you have to make that evaluation in a much shorter period of time. Undrafted guy, a lot of teams passed on him. Can this guy be good for our team, right? I mean,
well, you have to make that decision on all 90 players. So it's not just one category or another. It's every single guy. It doesn't matter, you know, how long he's been here or what round he was drafted in or was traded for or anything else. You've got however many practices we have, however many preseason games the player plays in. It's just isn't always the same for all of them. So if a player were to, you know, be injured and miss some time, you just have less information to go on. But again, every team in the league is dealing with the same thing, yeah. So you just do the best you can.
You know, Brady was on this morning with our new morning show, the Greg Hill Show, and one of the questions was, they asked Brady was about his best throw over his career. And a couple came to mind, that the pass in Miami to Troy Brown. Brady mentioned a couple that he had, and one was when he threw it off his butt. I forgot who he completed.
Cincinnati, I think you said.
Cincinnati. Is there a pass that you can remember where you go, wow, that was a really difficult, challenging play, tough coverage? I'm sure there's a bunch. Is there one in particular that stands out more than, or you can name five?
He's made a few.
He's made a lot.
Yeah,
he's made a lot, yeah. Well, look, The one where you fell down in the Super Bowl and you had to go to the third option.
Up.
I mean, that was a tough one.
That was, see, like, I, you know what? You're welcome. Yeah. I put that on a tee for you.
I like that.
Yeah. I would say that was probably one of his best throws. I'm glad I could be a part of that.
No, it was a good read. I would say it was a hard throw, but it was a good read at Givens. Yeah. I mean, after.
And he was patient with me, too. He waited for me to get up.
All right. He looked for you. Then he looked for Dion. Dion was doubled. Then he had to go outside to Givens, made a back shoulder throw. So, and look, Tom's had, you know, hundreds of great throws. So I think it'd be hard for me to single out one. I'm just kidding about that, too, Kristen.
No, I like
it.
I was giving him the Bill Belichick stare.
Yeah.
I thought you wanted me to say that, so I put it out there.
Coach, you get your first look at a young quarterback, Jarrett Stidham, in a game, right? Preseason game. Is there one thing you look for in a young quarterback first time you get to see him in that action that, you know, makes you feel better about him or not? Like, one thing in particular, because I'm sure there's some things you say, with experience, this will always improve. But when you get your first look, that's something that's different.
Well, there's 11 other guys out there, or 10 other guys out there with him, plus 11 on the other side of the field. So there's a lot of variables, a lot of multiples. Some things can go right or wrong that he has nothing to do with. So, yeah, it's not an easy process. We just do the best we can to evaluate each player and try to take into consideration some of the other things that are going on around them, which sometimes could adversely or positively affect them.
All right, you head to Nashville tomorrow, and you'll take on the Titans later on in the week, but you're going to practice for a couple days this week. How much more do you gain out of these practices as opposed to just facing that team on a weekend in a preseason game?
Oh, a lot. You know, a lot of one-on-ones that, you know, you're going up against different people and talented people on the other team that are, you know, we've seen plenty of one-on-ones against ourselves, but it's good to see those. Some of the group drills, 7-on-7 drills, things like that, where you, again, get multiple looks at your players against other players and other schemes. And then the team drills and situational football, third down, red area, blitzes, 2-minute, things like that, that just give you more reps at those things. So, you know, there's a lot of good that comes out of it, and you don't get all those in the game, so... you still have the game, so whatever you get from the game, you get from it. But, you know, I think you can work with coaches like Coach Patricia, Coach Vrabel, and those organizations, that they can be really productive.
So you had Bon Jovi out of practice. You also had Bruce Cassidy came out there today. Bruce talked about how you guys talked about rebounding from a big loss. Is there anything you can share that you guys had as far as the advice that you gave him, or...
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I tried. Okay. You guys got anything else?
No,
we're going to go to the all-favorite question. This is called the Drive of the Week, and this is brought to you by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. Coach, one preseason game, had a lot of great drives. Both quarterbacks played really well. A lot of young guys made some plays. What was your Drive of the Week?
Well, I mean, it's always good when you can turn the ball over on the other side of the 50, you know, on Simon's interception, punching it for a touchdown. So that was a good sequence.
You know, John Simon's a guy that I feel like is just sneaky under the radar. Like, contributed a lot last year, you know, played at Ohio State. Vrabel coached him. Seems like he's in that mold of the Nikovich Vrabel types. Is that a fair assessment of him as far as what his responsibilities?
He's a good end of the line player. He's tough, very physical.
Smart, too, right?
Very smart, yes. Very instinctive player. He's got good experience. He's been in some different systems. And like you said, he's been coached by Mike, both at Ohio State and with the Texans. So, yeah, he did a good job for us last year. Came in early part of the season, but learned the defense, contributed a lot to it. He's obviously way ahead of it this year by being here from, you know, day one all the way through the offseason program in the spring. So, yeah, John's on top of it.
All right, so this is this week's Drive of the Week, brought to you by your Boston area Mercedes-Benz dealers. This summer's hottest destination is the Mercedes-Benz Summer Event. For an incredibly priced Mercedes-Benz, head to www.mbusa.com/summer-event or visit your local dealer for a test drive.
All right, our conversation with Bill been brought to you by Putnam Investments. Putnam Investments,
I know, right?
And the New England Patriots.
It's on the sheet.
Proud partners committed to an active game plan on and off the field. All right, we're off and running, Bill. Have a good one.
All right, sounds good. All right, talk to you after Tennessee.
You got it, bro. Thank you very much. Bill Belichick right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.